On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Another audio whiplash. We've got a brand new voice on the other side of the mic, a guy I've known for, what's it been, man, 96?
Like, yeah, 96.
19 years or so. Shit, at 96, it didn't seem that long ago. 19 years, yeah. It sounds really far.
That does sound long.
Yeah. Randy Burke from the band
Snacks.
Snacks.
Snacks. Snacks. Question mark.
Question mark. Check it out. Literally, with the question mark, if yeah. You want to do that. Before we do anything else, let me put it out there so people can check it out before we go any further if you want. Snacksareawesome.bandcamp.com. Pile of tunes up there. Absolutely check it out. How's it going, man?
Good, good. Yeah. You know, just hanging out in the big city of Ottawa.
Yeah.
Drinking beers. They're not tall cans, but...
That's true. We really dropped the ball.
Yeah, I really guess we did. And, yeah, it's good. Checked out your washroom. I really admire your pink bathtub and your pink matching sink. I don't know if you've ever
appreciate that.
Yeah. It's honestly, pretty nice.
All right. Honestly, the bath mat, that mat, I don't know what it's called, that goes in front of the toilet, really thick, really says nice when your feet are sore. You just stand there. It's really good, man.
And then if you happen to relax too much and you accidentally pee, you're in the right spot.
But we've all accidentally peed.
Yeah. Well, if you're really relaxed.
We've got a few things that I'd like to touch on here. Most of it I'll make up later. I wonder if you could tell us, when did you, like, you've been playing in bands since you were 16, 17?
Yeah. Probably 97.
Yeah. All right, people don't know how old you are. You might be 63 years old.
Man. That's true. I look 63. Most people think I'm 63, so.
When I'm 60.
Yeah.
2, 4, however that song goes.
Yeah, I don't know that song.
All right.
Probably not very good.
It's true, man. But it's like the Beatles or something. So
yeah, so it's definitely not very good.
All right. What has been, let's start with, you know, your... entry into, was it just a general enjoyment of music and you wanting to start playing it? Did you ever have formal music training when you started? Well, or was it just wanting to kind of jam a bit, right?
I don't know. When I was a kid, I was like Fred Penner. And I used to pretend to be Fred Penner.
Yeah, and with this little acoustic guitar.
Yeah, and I would like, I don't know. I think
is
I
that Canadian?
Like,
are they going to know what that is south of the border? We have these things up here where I don't really know if that was just a Canadian... show,
yeah.
Or
I
know Fred Penner, absolutely.
Yeah,
I really don't know. If you've never heard of Fred Penner, Google Fred, YouTube Fred Penner, you'll catch up with.
And like, you always climb through like this log, and like, so I used to pretend I'd climb through this log and have my little guitar that I actually played.
How old are you at this point? Are you 17, 18 years old?
This is actually like this morning. But yeah, I don't know. When I was a kid, I used to do that, and I always held the guitar the wrong way, so I always thought I was left-handed guitarist. And I took a couple lessons in high school. It turned out I'm a right-handed guitarist because I'm right-handed.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah, ever since I was a kid, I always wanted to play. I learned how to play a little bit of everything. Was never really good at any of them.
Right.
So then I started playing in punk rock bands and playing like three chords over and over. It's pretty
easy.
That's
punk rock, all right.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't get more punk than that. I actually had to get my other guitarist to play one of my parts last time we recorded. I won't tell you the song, but...
So was that kind of high school would have been your first band?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Mostly covers? Were you writing stuff at that point? I mean, covers it, when you're a high school band. You
yeah,
play
that's pretty much
shit.
All,
yeah.
Yeah. So we did that and I had some friends that we used to write with and, they were about as equivalent as the songs are now. Okay. As in, like, they're terrible. So, yeah, we did that. I played in lots and lots of cover bands. I played drums in cover bands. We used to play bars in Northern Ontario.
Yeah, you're what, a couple hours south of Thunder Bay in the middle of fucking nowhere,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, like from Ottawa, probably like 16-hour drive or something like that.
Damn.
It's far. It's cold. And nobody knows any other music. So playing covers was really good because, you know, play 12 AC/DC songs and like... The 50-year-old women loved you and would buy you beer, and
yeah, man.
The bar would pay you a lot, so that was good. Yeah, exactly. We actually played TNT.
Of course you did. Everybody
yeah,
did.
Yeah, I remember doing an acoustic set one night, and people kept like bitching, like, "I want you to play TNT." So like we knew it was going to happen, so we had like all our electric gear stashed in a room,
right?
And we went and grabbed it, and then we played like TNT and. That Tragically Hip song that everyone plays. New Orleans is Sinking.
Yeah, okay, yeah. See, I was just going to ask you, because, you know, the usual co-host of this show, Rob Christie, we've had, actually, your sister-in-law, Amy Burke's been on the show.
Yeah.
I've managed to turn her into a bit of a... I know you're not a big hip guy. I was going to ask.
I don't mind the Tragically
Hip. Yeah, I was going to ask if you know, had ever performed any hip, any...
Yeah, I think that was the only one I've ever played.
Yeah.
And, you know... It was a really easy drum song, so I liked it because...
You were drumming at the time?
Yeah, I was drumming most of
so you've
my
pretty much,
high school.
You've been guitar, you've done bass.
Yeah,
you've,
and drums, but like...
Vocals?
No.
No?
This is the most vocal
this is
I
it?
Do.
Yeah.
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 Like,
you want to hit a rock scream or anything?
I don't think so. Maybe later.
Yeah,
I don't
know. I'm pretty
drunk.
See how many beers
so,
go down
yeah.
here? Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Well, you know, even if I could sing, the guys in my band would... don't like me to have a microphone because I sit there and talk too much. And
okay, so you are in the right place.
Yeah, so yeah, this is where I should be and not talking on stage. I still do it anyways between songs.
Can I see your mic for a second? I want to say some stuff.
Yeah, well, I just start yelling eventually. And like, I'm loud enough and drunk enough usually that people can hear me. So, you know, it's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah.
But... You know, I play in a band called Snacks. Nobody expects anything serious, right?
Which I'm somewhat amused, which is probably what you're aiming for. Somewhat amused. It's not hilarious or whatever. It's not pop punk. It's popcorn punk.
Pop and chip punk is what we've been going with now. I came up with popcorn punk and everyone's like, that's pretty good. And then somebody not in our band said, should be pop and chip punk. And...
All
that's
right.
That's what works.
Off to so, go. Yeah.
Yeah, so we're not popcorn punk anymore. We're pop and chip punk.
You should fix your website, man. Because in my limited research, that's the first thing about popcorn punk.
Well, yeah, because I probably put it on there and I don't know the password to switch anything. I'm pretty sure I told you to look up what our Twitter was because I have no idea what it is.
Yeah, in the process of teeing up this show, which we've done over the last couple of days, Randy was very little help in terms of... I think we have a Twitter.
Yeah.
You can find it somewhere.
We do have a Twitter, and I think somebody uses it.
Yeah, and I did find it.
Oh, did you?
I did. And a more professional host would remember the handle. But if you search Twitter for Snacks with a question mark, it is the first thing that comes up, but I forget the actual...
Oh, okay, perfect.
I think it's actually at Snacks Band.
Yeah, it might be that.
Yeah, I think it's at Snacks Band.
That's our Instagram, so that might be our Twitter.
I'm sure that would, yeah. Same thing, Snacks with a question mark on Facebook. You want to find these guys and what they're up to. You can do it pretty easy. Don't ask Randy. That won't make it easy. But So do you remember the name? This is something that I'm always amused by. It's when you you know, hear musicians talk about. Do you remember the name of your first band? Something as awful as like the Rainbow Butt Monkeys or anything like that.
First band I did in high school, we were called No Return.
Okay.
Which is pretty terrible. And I remember somebody drew a picture for it, and it was a dude, like a stick man, and then beside him on the right was like a wall, and on the other side there was like a key. So it was like, what? No return.
Yeah.
He's never coming back because he locked the key inside or something like that. It was really ridiculous.
That's terrible.
Yeah, it was pretty terrible. But I really liked the band name. I don't know why. It's right. Not very good, but it doesn't mean anything.
Right.
I guess like, a road sign would have been a better picture.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Like if you drive down a one-way street, no return, you can't go back.
Yeah.
I guess that's sure. The only thing that makes sense to me.
You mean just a... I think they call that a one-way.
Yes.
Really more than a no return.
But yeah.
All right. I get you. You gotta stretch a little. Yeah.
I had to think of a good reason for calling it no return.
So, you know, I don't know how many bands and band names you've been in over the years.
Tons.
Yeah. I think, and it's been a while, probably the last time I saw you play live, I think it was Sleeping Weather.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was the story behind that name and that that band? Is there anything to it? It
was named after a song title by a band called Small Brown Bike, which I didn't even name. I wasn't even in the band when they named it that.
Okay.
Like, I joined after.
Right.
And so they already had a name. And then a few years later, we took that same band and we switched the name because we realized we weren't very good. So we're like, let's just switch the name.
So we have a cool name. Maybe people think
we're
better.
So we came up with this name like...
We're ACBC.
yeah, something like that, yeah. And we called ourselves Tiebreaker, which I thought was awesome.
Yeah, no, I remember that too. I don't know if I saw you under Tiebreaker, but I remember thinking that was a pretty rad name. Right?
Yeah, like, it was cool. I liked it. And, what else did I play after that? Legitimate bands. We had Stay Home, I think, was our next band.
Okay,
name,
yeah.
Which was pretty cool. I like that name. But, I had a million joke band names. Like, we used to just drink beer and record stuff in our basement. So we had one band called Garbage Guts, which is pretty cool. We had one band called Bologna Tuna, which was pretty awesome. Oh, we had a band called Dinner Time that actually played shows. Like, we played a show with the Ataris, which is pretty cool.
Wow, that is...
I was like our first show.
Yeah.
And then we played one other one after that just because our friends were in town. And they're like, hey, you guys want to play? We're like, yeah, okay. And I remember we practiced once for the first time in like a year. And we opened our set. We played like the intro of Crazy Train. Because we were just like, this would be really funny. And it was pretty dumb, but it was pretty funny too.
So Dinner Time... Into snacks.
Yeah.
This is a way a lot of the nights go around here.
Some bologna tuna. Gives you garbage guts.
Yeah, all right.
Right?
That a boy. Way to pull it full circle.
Yeah.
How much would you say is the Ataris the biggest name you think you've played with?
Definitely in Dinner Time because we only played two shows.
Yeah, okay. But like you personally, maybe. Is that a...
Personally, I played with a lot of good bands. I played with I didn't play with No Use for a Name. We canceled that show. But we
opened
almost
up for Stalefish at one point, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely opened up for bigger bands than that. Like,
right. No, okay, but that's a
yeah,
name
Stalefish
that would be
was
recognized.
A good band that would recognize in Southern Ontario.
Yeah.
I played a show filling in for a different band with Lagwagon, which was pretty insane.
Yeah. Again, and if you're into that genre, people know Lagwagon.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
That's,
yeah. Yeah, like it was packed. It was cool.
Right.
And
that just like a bar show in London kind of deal?
No, that was actually in Chicoutimi, Quebec.
Okay. Wow. Yeah.
So I was filling in for another band.
That's a punk rock hotbed if I ever heard of one.
Well, actually, one of my good friends from London now, he had never seen Lagwagon and really wanted to. And that was the closest they came to London. So he went up.
Chicoutimi, Quebec.
Chicoutimi, Quebec.
Fuck, they don't go to Detroit or Buffalo or something.
Yeah, he drove to Chicoutimi, Quebec. And I ran into him outside after the show. And he's like, hey, remember me? I met you once. I was like, yeah, I do. I pretended I did. I had no idea who the guy was. And he turns out he's a really good friend of mine. Yeah.
Right on.
And
drove you home?
No, because I had to go to Montreal for Pooza Fest, which is pretty cool, too.
Right.
But, I've also played with the Aquabats. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
That was Stay Home's first show.
Right.
With the Aquabats. I played with the Real McKenzies.
Oh, that's good
stuff. Which is pretty cool.
I can't possibly say I'm a hardcore Real McKenzies, but that's a band where I know some tunes in there.
Yeah.
I dig their sound, right? That's really cool. That kind of Celtic
punk rock.
Right.
Yeah.
Very, you know, different, but Dropkick Murphys kind of sound that it's a lot of fun to, you know, rock out to a little bit.
I don't know. The Flatliners, I played with them a bunch of times. They're like one of all of our favorite bands. We all really like them, so.
Right. So would you say, you know, you've listed off some bands here and, you know, your different collections. Is this just you? Is there you and another guy or two that are kind of the basis for a lot of these things and other people keep falling off? Is it a...
Me and our singer, one of our singers at Snacks, Dustin, we've been in bands since like Sleeping Weather was our first band together. And we've done like, you know, close to 10 years of music together. And, you know, there's only been one band, I think, that he's in right now that has been a band that I'm not in.
Right.
And I had one other band that failed miserably. It was a cool band, but it just kind of failed pretty quick. And but yeah, we've been playing music since I moved to London in, I don't know, 10 years ago.
Right.
But yeah, it's...
So you've talked about some of these festivals, a couple of things going on. If you had to guess, and maybe you have an exact number, what do you suppose? Because the whole purpose of this to me is, you know... Maybe it'll come off as running you down a little. To me, it's a complete... I want to understand kind of the scene right now, right? How things are in the Canadian indie scene. What do you think is the biggest crowd you've played?
Like, numbers?
Number of people, yeah.
Like, in my personal bands?
Yeah. Any band you've been a part of.
Well, that Chicoutimi show was 1,500.
Okay.
But I would never play... in my own band, like in front of that many people, you know.
But if you were to
call the office and like Rum Runners and stuff like that.
Like these are pretty well known. Like London's not a small town, right?
No, exactly. Yeah. Lots of bands come into London and they'll play Call the Office because it's the coolest venue in the city by far.
I don't even know. That might be where I saw you play with Sleeping Weather.
Probably.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, a few hundred people for a band like us is good, but it doesn't happen very often. It's usually if there's a big time headliner playing and it gets like a couple hundred people there and we get on the show.
Right.
But like if we're doing a show on our own in London, we get like, you know, maybe 100 if we're lucky.
Right.
But
so what is when you come out to play a show like that, let's say you are the band, you're not opening for someone else. What's the strategy? Are you looking to kind of balance some stuff you've written with some covers? Are you wanting to hit just your stuff?
Yeah, just our stuff. We like in this sort of genre, like you don't do covers. Like you go up, you play half an hour, 40 minutes, and that's about it. And you just, you know, you try to ram as much stuff in as you can.
Yeah.
And you know, we don't like to play long. We have our theory of like if we're gonna be an opening band or a band on a small time show, we're only going to play 20-30 minutes because you want people to want more. You don't want to play absolutely everything you have.
Right.
And then there's nothing
left,
right?
You've emptied the tank for the next time they might see you.
So yeah, you know, that's been our philosophy. We do okay in London. We've played Montreal a couple of times. People really like us. Toronto's usually pretty good.
Is that strategy different if you're opening up for someone else? Or is it still try and get your stuff in?
Yeah, I like since I moved to London, I've never played in any sort of cover band.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we'll do the odd like punk cover.
Yeah,
like, you know, we used to do an Iron Sheik cover because that was like our favorite band, and so you know,
right. It's just interesting to, you know, if you had to take a, and I get that there's no possible way to in a city like London. How many bands like yours do you think there are playing these sorts of venues, drawing 100, 200 people? And, you know, where are we right now in terms of, you know, people wanting to get out and play music because they love playing music instead of trying to get huge, right? Is it a...
Yeah, it, you know, I find it's like people who want to just do like what we're doing are kind of like an older crowd, like my age, where it's just like, you know, we don't have time to, I don't have time to go on tour for 3 months or anything like
that. I got a job. I got bills to pay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Real life has caught up.
Right? Yeah, yeah. You know, and there's like some really cool younger bands in London, like this band that I'm friends with, the Heart Attack Kids, who are going to be like huge, but they can do whatever they want. They're like, the drummer just turned 19 like a week ago.
Yeah. And so go home, go sleep at mom's and
Back up and go to do it again tomorrow. You know, they have all the time in the world, but like bands like us, like, you know, we just we do it for fun, and it's usually like the age group. If you're young, you try to make it. If you're old, like us, then
do
you
it
just
you love it.
Do it, yeah. You just do it for fun. You know, we play whenever we can, but like, you know, we're definitely not going on like we'll play like two shows in a row out of town, and that's it.
Right. So I want to shift, and we'll probably come back to your specific band, Philip, but I'd be really interested in your take right now, because I think, you know, being honest, we talked about this a little bit before the microphone got fired up.
Yeah.
That when you and I met, I think, you know, I'm a year younger than you. You would have been 14, maybe.
Yeah, 14, 13. 15-ish.
And the thing I remember, I'm probably, because I grew up out in the country, you've been to our old family house and these sorts of things, which is probably a little bit of culture shock. Maybe not. You grew up in the fucking middle of nowhere,
Yeah, too. Exactly. Yeah, your place was the same as mine, except it was warmer.
Right. True. But I grew up in a house and a family and a surrounding area that liked country music, right? And,
yeah.
And so I was definitely ready for something else, but didn't know where I was going. You showed up with your Nirvana t-shirts when you and I started in high school together, and the, you know, the flannel.
Yeah.
Over, and I can remember specifically, and I don't know if the album would have been brand new at the time. I don't have the release date. You had Marilyn Manson's album with the Beautiful People on it. And we're talking probably 96, right?
Yeah. So it probably, I think that came out 95, 96.
Yeah. So it wasn't maybe brand new, but it was, and I kind of, now that song is a song that would go on to be huge, and it's played at sporting venues and bars, and everybody knows it. But that was my first probably exposure to heavy, if you want to call it that, rock, right?
Yeah.
Where, okay, this is especially Garth
coming
Brooks
for, yeah, it's guitar from Garth Brooks. Right. Like Marilyn Manson is like, oh my God.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Where does that influence come from? Obviously, you would have picked that up somewhere down the road. You already into the Nirvanas, these sorts of things. Where did your sense of musical tastes come from when you were young?
I don't know. Like, I started listening to like Offspring and Green Day, Dookie, and stuff like that. And
94, right? The year punk broke.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's you know, that was
Offspring
stuff.
Smash,
Offspring Smash,
Dookie,
yeah,
Dude Ranch.
Dude Ranch.
If you want to lump them in as well, right?
Yeah.
Like Bad Religion had an album out that year.
And, you know, there's all kinds of cool stuff out then. And, like, the thing was back then, though, is that stuff was on the radio.
Right.
All the cool music was actually on the radio.
Right.
So, and much music. Well,
things
and
were
stuff
changing
like that.
So much. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, so it was kind of just, you know, that's what I listened to. You know, I had a few friends, like, who just really were like, oh, Nirvana's the best, Nirvana's the best. So I was like, well, I guess I should listen to it. And, you know, even I did like it, but even if I didn't, I probably would have pretended I did because I wanted to be cool.
Yeah, yeah.
But
in 93, right, let's call 93, 92 the top, the zenith for Nirvana. You're 11 years old.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like, and I'm a year younger than you, and I got into Nirvana, but I felt like I'd kind of missed it a little, right? Like, I enjoyed it. But I was on the tail end of it. It was already kind of over, but I was growing into this place where I could appreciate it. But when they were exploding and kind of changing music, I was 9, 10 years old, right? I didn't really get it, right? Were you the same way, or were you maybe some people are just a little bit ahead in terms of when they pick up their own?
Yeah, like, I was probably grade 7, grade 8, however old you are then.
Right,
when
12, 13.
Yeah. When I started, like, getting into music, and then, I don't remember what I was going to say.
Yeah, well.
Then I liked it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and then, you know, that's the thing. It was all over the place, so it was easy to get to.
Yes.
And, like, now I find, like, music that I listen to now, most people don't even know what it is.
Right. And that's absolutely something I want to get to a little bit here as well as we move forward. The state of music right now.
Yeah.
Which is kind of horrifying. Yeah. Yeah. You've kind of answered a question I was going to answer you down the road, but that's okay.
That's the only answer you need. That it's pretty much terrible.
Well, you know what? Let's not fuck around. Let's just go there now. Is this...
Sure.
Maybe the answers need to be different, but I think we've kind of got a window into where you stand on this. I was going to ask, is this the best... Well... For me, I lean towards the worst. Is it the worst or best time ever in music history? And is the answer to that question different from a musician's perspective than it is from a fan's perspective? Like, it's way easier now to get your music out there.
Yeah, which is cool that anyone can do it. But the problem with the fact that everyone can do it is that everyone
so
can
diluted.
Do it. Yeah, like, you know, these, like... Going to a studio, you used to save your money, and it used to be a really awesome experience, and now fucking Tim down the street's got a recording studio.
I got a big
mic,
and we'll just roll through the garage,
and everyone thinks they can do it, and everyone thinks they know what they're doing, and most people don't.
Yeah,
and then it just gets saturated with all this garbage, like that sounds like shit, and nobody takes pride in like having.
Well, so that's kind of the difference in, or almost the same thing that's happened in mainstream top end music is it's just the
same thing,
oversaturated garbage.
Yeah.
That you kind of go, I don't care about writing a hit. I don't care about writing a song that people love. I need to write a song that no one hates.
Yeah. I guess that's what we look
right.
at.
Right.
Yeah.
Something that can be played from 9 to 5 in the dentist's office waiting room. On mainstream, whatever, and that's how you make your money.
Yeah, and that's boring.
It is like, boring.
Why do you want to do that?
And that's the one thing that I've softened a little, as much as I hate to say it, in terms of certain things that I don't mind listening to, but I have a real issue with, and I'm sure I don't have to defend it to you, if I can't hear an instrument in your song, right?
Yeah.
That's clearly been put together on a computer.
Yeah.
I don't have much. I get what you're doing. I get that you're going to make some money and that you're probably a great marketer. But you're not a great musician, right? That was a computer technician who put that together for you.
Exactly.
And he was good at his job.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
But he never picked up a guitar or a drums or a microphone or whatever.
Yeah. And it's just, it's so boring, man. Like, I don't know. I listen to the radio in London and... You know, I try not to listen to it because all radio is brutal now because the only good stuff that's on the radio is when you get like a station that's playing stuff from like the 90s.
Right. And classic alternative.
Yeah.
Right?
And the thing is, they only play the same 10 songs over and over. So then it's just like, this is irritating. Yeah. But, you know, I don't know. There's lots of cool stuff out there. It's just you have to look for it more now.
Well, and that's it. It's funny. I've told this story a couple times before. I have a cousin of mine. You might have met him. I don't know. My cousin Adam. He's 10 years younger than me.
Yeah.
When you met him, you would have been 4 years old. I can remember giving him this album called The Best of Punk. And I don't know what that is, right? I'm not a... Like I've said before, you've always been further ahead in that kind of... But this was stuff like the Buzzcocks, right?
Yeah.
Like going back a little bit. And I gave him this album. He, at the time, was probably going into grade 9. And he has thanked me 1,000 times since then for turning him on to what music can be. And he plays in bands now. And he and his friends would go looking for other shit. And I certainly don't sit around claiming I developed his music. But that
you changed his life, man.
Yeah, fuck. That 2-CD set, he dug, and he turned it into something that he enjoyed.
Yeah, which is awesome.
And here we go 10 years later, so probably 3 years ago from right now.
Yeah.
He says to me, because I'm saying, like, to him, I've gotten old and I'm not cool in my musical taste.
Yeah.
If I was ever cool, and I probably wasn't, my musical taste have mellowed a little bit. I don't want to hear people scream at me. I got time for heavy music, but I want to know what... The vocalist said.
Yeah.
And he said to me, you need to check out the Menzingers.
Oh, yeah. Menzingers are awesome.
I'd never heard of them before in my life. Now, that's because you're a year older than me, but you're more tapped into these things. You would have heard. I'd never fucking heard of them.
Yeah. No, they're great.
And there's all I have to do, onto YouTube, check it out. Yeah, I like that. And immediately, I went onto iTunes and bought their album.
Yeah.
That's $10 they're not making 10 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Before YouTube, before someone else got their album and shared it on Facebook or whatever it would have been. And I have no problem in an age where I can just rip it off YouTube or whatever. I'll give you your $10 if it's good.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I use...
You got to get that out there somehow, right?
Yeah.
And so that was kind of the point I was trying to make in terms of, is this the best or worst?
It's better. It's better than, like, Napster days.
Right.
Like, where everyone just stole everything.
Right.
Like, now you got cool things. Like, I used to use RDO. They just got rid of that.
Yes,
but now you use Spotify. Yeah. And, you know, you pay $11 a month or $12 bucks or whatever. And, like, you know, artists actually get some of this money, which is cool. Like, you know, and at least they're getting something. And the thing, too, that's really cool is, like, I was reading something, like, vinyl is almost as big now as it was back in the late 80s. Like, you know, kind of when vinyl was going downhill in the late 80s, early 90s, when CDs were coming out. But it's so huge now. Like, I know people who, like, have just monster record collections. And, you know, because you get the record and you can still go download it. You can still listen on Spotify or RDO or whatever. And, you know, it's really cool like that. Like, I don't buy records. But
But as from a musical perspective, or as a musician's perspective, you got to be open to these sorts. If you don't, technically, when I listened to that album on YouTube, some dick threw that up there who wasn't supposed to.
Yeah.
But that dick got me to go buy your album.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's kind of this give and take. If I want to be that guy, I can just go to YouTube and listen to it whenever I feel.
Yeah.
But I thought it was good, and I'll pay you if it's good.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, people will listen to things on the internet and do that. And they'll go buy, like, the coolest thing is when people go buy your vinyl.
Right.
Because, you know, if you buy vinyl, then you got, like...
The vinyl thing's strange, man.
Yeah,
it's,
like...
It's weird that it's...
Yeah, it's really weird. It's really cool. Like, you know, like I said, I don't collect it, but, you know, the only physical thing that Snax has put out, we've put out two cassette tapes and a 7-inch record. Like, you know, because all that cool stuff's coming back. Nobody wants a CD.
Can people CDs pick that up somewhere? You want to...
I think all our tapes are gone. All
right.
But well,
that's probably a good thing.
Yeah. Shit. And
all right. I don't want to put you on the spot. Yeah. I just thought if you wanted to pimp something.
Come to our shows.
Yeah.
That's about
especially
the only
if you're listening in Southern Ontario, London area, check it out. It is. It's one of those. That was a weird moment for me when he's giving me now, because he's got me pegged, right?
Yeah.
At the time I'm telling him, and you can say what they want. They've changed a little bit and they've shut it down. So I was getting into the Gaslight Anthem, right? The 59 Sound was a great album. Sink or Swim, I believe, was the one
was
before,
one
that,
before
was,
that. Yeah, really good.
Yeah. They've kind of changed a little bit, but I've really still enjoyed the stuff they've put out since then. But he can look at that and go, yep, Menzingers, you'll be fine. Check it out.
Yeah.
It's okay, old man, right?
You'll
be okay.
No, the Menzingers are... Ugh.
And so... But
they're really great. I really like
them. He's the one...
Most people do.
He's got... vinyl, right? He's got and he'll say to me, because he knows, and this is where the part where, again, you'd never say you shaped somebody's music, but he's got a memory that said this is where this kid did, let's face it, ever he had somebody, a cousin or an
exactly.
old friend, and he'll say to me, why don't you come over, I've got Anti-Flags Underground Network on vinyl, and I want to go listen to that with him, right? He's 20 years old, I'm 30 years old. Let's drink a beer and listen to something I listened to in high school. And he listened to in high school later on, right? It's fun. The vinyl thing is weird because it's kind of brought a lot of these things back around, right? And given you this opportunity to, in a modern time, listen to what isn't yet a classic rock. You wouldn't call Anti-Flag classic.
No.
But... in a classic format, right? And it does. It sounds so crisp. It's nice.
Yeah. Well, the cool thing, too, is, like, you can actually sell it, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you're just having people download it, like, on Spotify,
right,
like, you're getting, like, maybe, like, a nickel.
Yeah.
If you're lucky. I right. don't even get that much.
Well, that's but, the like, one reason I think iTunes is probably, if you can get your shit on there, and I don't know what that takes. As a podcast, it didn't take much. As a musician, I don't know what it takes to get your stuff on iTunes.
Yeah, they take a lot of money from you,
do you?
Too, right?
Yeah.
So,
do you know what the, if you want to take a stab at the percentage?
You know what? I don't even know. Yeah. I've never put anything on iTunes. But yeah, okay. I've had someone put stuff on, like, Spotify, and, you know, it cost them, like, $80, but it took them, like, 2 years to make it back, right? So you're not really collecting a lot of that money.
Right.
But if you're selling a vinyl,
yeah,
then you're getting all that money, you know?
Yep.
You sell a 7-inch for $5 like we do, and you know that's $5 in your pocket, right?
Right.
Except it costs you like $1,500
$6 to make it.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
No, it's so in your mind, music's in a bad place, right?
Well, it's better. It's been worse. You know, like it's been worse before, like all this, like iTunes and all that kind of stuff, where you could choose to pay, like Bandcamp, you can pay.
Yep.
If you want to.
Yep.
And some people actually do, which is cool.
Yeah.
And but it's better than the days, like, I remember, like, late high school, I was downloading everything on,
sure,
like, Napster, LimeWire. Yeah, exactly.
And I did that too, man, because you're just a fucking kid. You got no money, and you're trying to learn some music. But you got to give me that as a grown man with some money that I'm willing to invest in my musical tastes.
Yeah.
You got to let me sample it first. And if you're not prepared to do that, I'm not going to find you. I'm probably just not, right?
Yeah.
And so I get it. Oh, I don't want my shit on YouTube because it takes... I don't want my shit on... And I get the illegal downloading streams and these sorts of things.
Yeah, you know what lots of people do, too.
You got to let me have a shot at it.
Yeah. What lots of people do now, too, is they'll put their stuff on Bandcamp, but not for download.
Right.
So you can just stream it. And, you know, that's a...
Sure.
And if you like it, you're going to buy it.
Same thing for me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me hear it.
Yeah, because you're not going to stream Bandcamp when you're sitting on the city bus.
You're right.
Right?
I'm on the VIA train going somewhere. I'm getting on a plane. I can't go to Bandcamp and stream.
Yeah, so you got
to
buy it if you like.
Download it, and I'm fine with that.
Yeah, and that's cool. Like,
but I think as a musician, it's a little short-sighted to not be willing to give people that. No, I mean, if you're fucking Taylor Swift, you put out your album and 3 million people buy it that day and carry on your fucking way.
Yeah,
if you're trying to make it, you got to give somebody an avenue, right?
Yeah.
You got to.
Yeah, you know, you got to meet that middle ground. You can't give it out for free, but you can't expect everyone to buy it.
Because I don't think I'm alone. I don't think I'm a minority when I say if it's good, I will then pay you for it to have that convenience. Like you said, right? Just pick my phone up, click, and your album's playing.
Yeah.
I don't want to go to your website every time, right?
Yeah,
I don't
want to go. Right?
But you gotta show me that first.
Yeah, and that's fair. You know, like that's what we do.
Right.
Like on our Bandcamp. Well, you know, because I know so little about what we
do. Snacksareawesome.bandcamp.com.
Yeah, you might be able to download it for free there. I don't even know.
You can certainly stream it.
You can definitely stream it.
Yep.
But yeah, we're gonna have everything out in the new year. Like everything that we've ever done.
Yeah.
It's gonna be on a CD, and we've done like. Well, both cassettes were splits with other bands. The vinyl was a split.
I didn't know they still made cassettes. That's wild.
Yeah, they're coming back too because people want a physical copy of things.
Right.
And they're so cheap to make.
But a CD's quality is so much.
CDs are terrible.
It's better than a tape.
Well, you get a tape and you get to look at it, and then you get a download card with it. So then you get a free download.
Yeah. But. You can't. You won't sit here and sell me that a cassette sound quality is better than a CD sound quality.
CDs are garbage, man. They're all digital compressed bullshit.
A cassette is a fucking... As it gets caught in your fucking thing, it spins the fuck around, tears apart. It's
invest in a tape player.
No, it's 2015.
But so yeah, anyways,
invest in a vinyl machine.
Yeah,
a vinyl machine.
Yeah. So yeah, everything that we've done has been out on a split of some sort. So we're putting out a CD to make you happy.
Yeah,
In the new year,
old man Matt. That's
and it's going to be called Greatest Splits. So I thought it was pretty
Snacks Greatest Splits.
Yeah, Snacks Greatest Splits, and it's going to come out in the new year sometime.
All right. Well, you absolutely need to keep us posted on that. We'll pimp it out on here, and
we'll get because we got tons of material that is out there, but it's all on different things, right?
Right.
So,
well, and that's it. It's nice to have that convenience where it's just
yeah,
all
so we'll put it all on one thing, and then, you know, we're going to put it online, like Spotify or yeah. whatever. And
so to circle back around for a second, you said when you put something out on iTunes, they take a lot of your money. Did they take enough that it's just not worth it? Like, do they charge you to put – obviously, they're taking a certain amount, but to actually put it up there, is there a cost?
I think they charge you X amount of dollars to put however many songs up.
Right.
And then per play, they probably take right. – because that's how you get paid is per play.
Yes.
And so I think they take a percentage of that, and then you get a small percentage after that.
So when you're saying, you know, this thing, you'll put it up on Spotify, the greatest splits – there's just no interest in iTunes.
Well, actually, Mike, I don't know. We got to figure out what we're going to do. Just Spotify is like the thing that it
Spotify
seems like
is
most
just
people
blowing up, right? It's still, and it seems like it's been blowing up for 3 years, but it's just getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's the first thing we'll do is just put it up there and, you know, look into iTunes and all that kind of stuff after.
Right.
But, you know, the majority of the people I know use Spotify, so, you know.
Yep.
Put it up for those guys, I guess.
Sure, yeah. Let's shift a little bit away from your specific experiences and just talk. I wanted to ask you, because I laugh because my parents would listen to the music I was listening to. And my mom, I still hear this phrase to this day. Because I'm 32 years old, right? I go up to my parents' place. I have a place on the lake. I'm like, and I'll go, and I will sit on the end of the dock by myself with a couple of beers on a Friday night and just look at the fucking water and listen to some tunes. And I don't really care what plays, right? I might have a Gaslight Anthem tune. Honestly, I might still, left over from that nostalgic childhood place, have a Garth Brooks tune come out next. And then it might be what Underground Network by Anti-Flag or whatever.
Yeah.
And my mom, to this day, still uses the phrase, "Oh, you're punk shit."
That's pretty amazing.
Right.
Yeah.
But she uses punk shit to describe Jimmy Eat World's The Middle.
Right? Yeah.
Like, she just...
Anything that isn't a country tune.
Pretty much. Yeah. Right? Or she's big Bruce Springsteen, Bon Jovi, right? These sorts of things.
Yeah.
But it's punk shit if it's loud, right? And I wonder where... Like, that's kind of where I stopped. I had a little bit of Pennywise.
Yeah.
One of my favorite albums to this day, and this is for people who are as hardcore as you are, will...
It's hardcore. Yeah.
Oh, well, okay, but you know what I'm saying, right?
I'm
understand the genre.
I'm curious to hear this album, isn't it?
Right. Rancid and Out Come the Wolves.
Oh, yeah.
Right. That'll paint me as, okay, he's this fucking kind of guy. Yeah. Right. And I'm okay with that, because I love that album.
Oh, it's great. And I listen to it all the time.
I've picked up other albums from Rancid. I've enjoyed them to a certain extent, but not like I like that one, right?
Yeah.
I loved Dude Ranch, right? Cheshire Cat. To me, those are, you know, Dookie, these sorts of things, which aren't punk rock, right? If you're what is it about, is that a safe entry point into that genre where you don't actually have to get your hands dirty, but you can kind of claim punk rock?
Because, like, you know, you could listen to, well, something like early
is that
Blink.
Hoser, right. And like I said, Cheshire Cat, Dude Ranch, both those I really enjoy.
You can listen to that.
But I didn't check out at Enema.
Oh, really?
Most
I love
people
that
did.
Record.
No, that's what I'm saying. I didn't out after Enema of the State, where most people went, okay, that's it, they're I can't take any more of that. Right?
Yeah.
Everything after that was kind of...
Yeah, like old Blink and stuff like that was cool because you could be like, oh, I like punk rock. But it still wasn't like...
Right. Punk
rock.
It
wasn't like hardcore, like screaming.
Right.
Like, you know.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah. That's where I picked these sorts of things. It was from you and your brother a little bit later on. These different sorts of bands, which were, you know, they were punk rock-ish.
Yeah.
But you weren't... Truly, whatever, right? I don't want to make any of these crazy designations or whatever.
Yeah.
But that's as deep as I got, right? Was those sorts of...
Totally fine.
Sure.
You know, like,
no, of course, right? Everybody's got their musical tastes.
Yeah.
But you know, what was it that's allowed you or pushed you to keep pushing deeper into that whereas a lot of people kind of stop there, right? Whereas I'm offended by Simple Plan.
Oh, I hate that. Sure. Thing so much.
But someone can rightfully look at me and go, really? Simple Plan sucks. Blink 182 is fine. You go, I don't have a great argument for that, right?
That's true. Because, well, the singer of Simple Plan was the singer of Reset, who was a, which was a good punk band.
I'm sorry, so, did you say Roxette?
Reset. Also almost like threw up on the table.
Yeah. That happens.
Yeah. But completely off topic, did you notice that the Leafs won 5-0?
No. Yeah. Although I'm looking over your left shoulder. Yeah, I should have been able to watch the whole time. Yeah. And so, yeah.
No, I just checked.
They were up 1-0 when we fired this pod up.
Yeah. If they it's got big 4 third in the period. Third.
Yeah, fuck you, Kings.
Kings? Yeah. That's pretty
Jonas
good.
Enroth?
Yeah, well, that's probably why they
you
won.
You stink. Right. Yeah. Yeah, right. That's good news.
Yeah, that's really
go
good
Leafs.
News. Yeah. I don't remember what we're talking about.
Yeah, now. It doesn't matter. I think we said Simple Plan rules, I believe.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
So what is, you, if, do you remember your first album that you bought with your own money?
Offspring Smash.
Okay. For me, do you remember, was it on cassette?
Cassette.
CD? Yeah. Mine was Metallica's Black Album, also on cassette.
Yeah, that's not bad.
You're right.
Because you got to buy it because you can't download it.
Right. And so there's a million things in my musical collection for me to be embarrassed or ashamed of since, but I can look back and go, my first thing that I threw my money down on. Yeah. Yeah. I'm okay
yeah,
with that.
Metallica right? Black. That's yeah. pretty cool.
Right. What for you was, it's hard to, I've already sort of asked the question in a couple of ways, but what do you, if you had to go home right now, let's play the gay fucking gay. What am I, 14 years old? This is gay. If you had to go home and play Desert Island, you can take 3 albums with you.
Well, Offspring Smash, definitely. Yeah.
Still, it's holding up for you. It's,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it'd probably be like Offspring Smash, Green Day Dookie, and either Nirvana Nevermind or New.
So all of it, 20 years old.
Yeah.
There's not been much that registered with you
well,
the same way.
There's a lot of stuff that I really like. That I,
is it you, nostalgia? Is it?
I think so because, like, you know, Green Day Dookie and Offspring Smash, that's why I'm like, well, those three, all three.
Right.
Were the reasons I'm like, okay, I really got to learn how to play guitar now.
Right.
Like, you know, like I said earlier, like I screwed around when I was a kid with a guitar, but like I never really, you know, took any sort of seriousness to it until I was like, oh, Offspring Smash, this is awesome. Like, I should learn how to play guitar. And,
right.
like, those three albums were, like, the reason that I ever even picked up a guitar and, like...
When did you get your first guitar?
My first real guitar I got in grade 10. Okay. So, like, 96 or 97.
Right. So, when you say real guitar... Means
yeah.
real by quality or real?
Yeah,
real
by like quality. Like yeah. I've had like, you know, little kid guitars
right,
and stuff
right,
that
right,
you
right.
probably couldn't even tune.
Right.
And but yeah, like yeah, first real guitar that you could actually like sit down and legitimately play was when I was in grade 10.
Favorite live show you've been to, not performed in?
There's been a lot.
Yeah, well I'm sure, right?
You had to come back to me on that.
All right.
I'll have to think about that.
Well, again, as the poser guy,
yeah.
Let me throw down 2005 in August. And I don't know if this is still my favorite concert to date, but it's in terms of what we've been talking about, probably my 05 Molson Park and Barry, Green Day on the American Idiot Tour.
Oh, yeah.
Jimmy Eat World opened, and allow me to defend myself, that's where I went to the Outhouse and the beer tent. But the first band out of the three,
yeah.
I can't remember who it was supposed to be. Someone canceled last second, and the Toronto, well, the Barry, and Montreal dates ended up being Anti-Flag opened.
Oh, that's all right.
Yeah. So I got down front, Anti-Flag coming off the Terror State album, I believe, and... You disappear for Jimmy Eat World, come back, and there's an awful lot of 15-year-olds now for the
yeah.
Green Day portion, and you're kind of standing a little further back, drinking your beer and watching the show instead of
yeah.
being up front, right? And, honestly one of my favorite shows ever, right? Just
yeah,
it, and you know, you've mentioned Green Day a couple of times as being why you got into it.
Yeah, I've never even seen Green Day before either.
They were at that point a long way from what brought you into the genre. Yeah. At that point,
I would still see them.
Holy crap, they put on a good yeah. show, man! That whole they played basically all that album, and they went back. And I've seen them interviewed around that time where they said this was the first time where we're playing, not necessarily where we headlined, but where we headlined 30,000 seat, not even yeah. seat, right, but 30,000 person shows for our music. And so, yeah, American Idiot brought them there, but we can go back and play Hitchin' a Ride. And people yeah. were belting it back at
yeah,
us, right?
Exactly.
These sorts of things from a long time ago. And it was a blast, man.
Yeah.
And to do, you know, the Anti-Flag thing for me, one of my, you know, in yeah. late high school, one of the bands that you and
really,
your brother turned me on to, yeah. right? And again, probably as deep as I would go into that, you know, Justin
yeah.
Sane. He can get up and scream when he wants to,
yeah,
or
exactly.
at least he could at the time. That was fun, man. That's a great
yeah.
night. That was a great, terrific show. I saw, again, no hesitance here to say this. People are painting their pictures. I saw Monin.
Oh, I love Monin.
Anti-Flag, Rise Against, Open For, and I barely cared about the headliner, Billy Talent at the
oh, yeah.
of the center. Went to that, and it was cool just in the sense that those first three bands were a lot of fun. And
yeah.
I don't really care about Billy Talent, but
yeah.
I remember a part of that concert where he said, we have played every shithole in this country for a decade trying to play this venue here.
Yeah.
And you kind of go, that's kind of cool. I respect that, right? That's,
yeah.
I'm glad you made it, right?
Yeah,
you're
exactly.
not my deal, but good for you, man, right? Like,
I was just thinking, some of the cool shows, like, one of the coolest ones I went to was the one year they did Warped Tour in Skydome.
Yeah, okay.
There
like
was,
2000 maybe? No, it would have been a little later than that.
Yeah, 03? I was 18, I remember. It was 2001, I think.
Yeah, okay. No, but, 01, yes, you're right.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. So yeah, there was Pennywise, there was...
I'd seen it Warped 04, they were back on 04, I
yeah.
saw that one. Yeah.
Pennywise, Rancid, AFI.
Oh, wow.
Me First and the Gimme Gimmes. Sum 41 played back when they were
yep,
like,
yep.
I, you know,
half hour of power.
40. Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Well, actually, a bit later than that because they played a headlining stage.
Okay.
So their second record, whatever.
What was that like, man? Because the Dome,
it was
for a one stage concert, is a terrible venue.
Yeah, but like it was like one stage facing one way and another.
So they were back to back.
Oh, no, actually, they were side by side.
Okay.
And so it would be one headlining band. And as they were playing,
someone else would be
setting up. And then there was a couple stages at the opposite end.
All inside. Like, it just doesn't seem
yeah,
that
it was
big,
cool.
right? Like, it's, that's, wow.
So, yeah, who else, man? There were so many good, I saw Planet Smashers for the first time there.
Oh, wow, yeah. I got to see the Vandals in 04 do a kind of one last.
Oh, yeah.
That was fun. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Right?
The and Salads, another Southern
oh,
Ontario.
Fuck, I hate the Salads.
Really? Okay.
So much.
That's fun, man. That's funny to me, right? I can't say I was a huge fan, but I dug a couple of their tunes.
Oh, man, I hate that band. We always make fun of that band, actually.
All right. See,
yeah,
I've terrible. Put myself out here enough times. I'm good with where
yeah.
I am, right? That's all right.
And so that was really
why?
Cool.
Why? Hit me why. That's just...
Oh, this is that stupid reggae rock.
Yeah.
Punk stuff that I don't really
right.
like. And I don't understand their band name.
Yeah,
coming
okay.
from a guy who played in a band
called
Snacks.
Seriously.
I don't yeah, I don't know.
You could snack on a salad. That's what is,
yeah,
what's
you don't win friends with salad, man.
It's true.
And
go back to Russia.
Yeah, exactly.
Gazpacho.
And the coolest show, it actually, I always forget about this, but I saw Against Me in Thunder Bay with like 15 people. Which was pretty awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, like
when was that?
Oh god,
even roughly.
Early 2000s probably.
Wow.
You know, like, they only had, like, a couple records out. Like, this was, like, way, way before, like, New Wave and all that kind of
yeah,
stuff came
yeah.
out. Like, where New Wave is where they got really big. And then, you know, a few years later, they get massive. But, yeah, we drove up to Thunder Bay, just, like, a handful of us. There was more people at the show from Marathon than there was from Thunder Bay. Like, it was crazy. It was awesome. Like, you know, there was like 10 of us and we all stood right up front and there was nobody like smashing my head against the wall or anything. It was cool. Yeah.
maybe in terms of respect for against me, this is an unfair time to ask this question. Do you believe in the term sellout?
Depends. Yeah,
okay.
Depends. Like,
did against me sell out? Or no. Did they get big?
They got big.
Yeah.
Sellout to me is if you're in, like, you know, like if against me was like to use them as an example, if they were doing what they were doing and they were like selling out small clubs, like 200-300 people, and then they're like, all right, screw this, let's make a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
And then
we'll put out a just Blink like, album. And
yeah, they're just like,
did Blink sell out? It.
I don't think Blink sold out. I think
it's
Blink
just what they were.
Got old and shitty.
Yeah, okay. So who do you and your who sold out? Who's a good example of a band that just went, I am now just in this for the money?
Somebody I was talking about the other day.
Yeah, it's tough, man. I'm putting you on the spot a little bit, but it's just interesting to me, right? Because there's a certain amount of, I get it if you change what you're all about and what your fans got you to this point, and now all of a sudden you're going to do this. But at the same time, if you're kind of following your direction and you get huge and you kind of have to compromise in one or two places, that to me, that's not a...
Yeah, like...
You got to do what you got
to
do,
if you listen to, like, a new Against Me song...
Right.
And then you listen to a really old Against Me song, you can listen and be like, okay, that's the same band.
Yeah.
But, like, when you listen to a band that's like, really? That's what they used to sound like?
Right.
Oh, God, I have one. I can't think of it. But anyways, I'll think of it.
Sure.
Yeah.
No, it's just an interesting quote because you hear that thrown around all the time, and half the time it just doesn't fit. It's not appropriate, right? I get why you don't like them anymore, but they didn't sell out a lot of the times, right? It's just one of those things where,
I used to really like Rise Against.
Right.
Like, their first...
Did they sell out?
No, they just kind of stuck with what they're doing.
Little,
yeah.
And it got bigger and it got a little more polished as they made some more money. And,
you know, then it becomes oversaturated. Yeah. Like, it's too much. Like, it's on the radio all the time, blah, blah, blah. And you hear it all over the place. It's on, like, you know, NHL games.
Yeah,
and,
no, it's true. Yeah.
And you hear it too much. And then it's just like, I don't want to hear this anymore. But
is it not like, let's use Rise Against now for this, but, you know, make up a Rise Against's ABC tune, we'll call it.
Yeah.
You would want, when they were a small time, and you'd sit there and go, this is what radio should be playing.
Yeah.
And radio finds it and plays it. Ah, fuck Rise Against.
Well, right? there's that respect. Right, like, some people are like that, and it's like, oh my God, that was on the radio. I don't like it. But, you know,
because radio does suck right now. Like, it's terrible. It's awful.
Yeah. And, you know, it's just two different ways of looking at it. Like, if you don't like a song because it's on the radio, then you're just being a douche.
Right.
But if you follow this band and, like, you know, as you get closer to radio, you get, like, this more generic sound. Like, you know, you get signed to bigger labels and they're like, hey, no, you need to sound a bit more like this so that we can play you on the radio. And then that sucks. Like...
Yeah.
If they played, like, you know, songs from, like, Revolution Per Minute, like, by Rise Against on the radio, I wouldn't be like, oh, no, I don't like this song anymore. Because I love that record. It's on my Spotify. I think I listened to it on the way down here.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, no, it's just, it's one of those things where it's almost impossible to please people, right?
Like, yeah. And there really is lots of people like that, that, you know, as soon as a band gets on the radio, they just don't like it because it's on the radio.
Right, because... That's more, to me, has nothing to do with the music. It's, I want to be different. I want to be alternative. I don't like radio stuff, right?
Yeah.
And you go, okay, that's your business, but doesn't mean the band suddenly fucked and...
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's interesting to me, man. If you had to pick any three kind of bands in this genre on one, you know, one festival, one stage for...
Oh, like...
Yeah, tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night?
I got a ticket to see them, and them.
I see this band called Iron Sheik, who are my favorite band. My second favorite band is Banner Pilot. And what's my third favorite band? Oh, there's so many. Maybe I'll look at Spotify. But yeah, those two...
Banner Pilot.
Banner Pilot and Iron Sheik, like, named after the wrestler. The Iron Sheik.
America, what the?
Yeah, like, Iron Sheik, our band, we write to sound like Iron Sheik. Because that's a, like, they're...
The Canadian?
No, they're from the States. I don't remember where. But, yeah, they're pretty big when they play, like, these punk rock festivals. They'll play, like, The Fest, which is a huge festival in Gainesville, Florida, every October.
Right.
And they play there, and they're, like, they're massive and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, then they come up to Canada, and I saw them at called the office with, like, 100 people.
Right.
There should have been, like, 1,000 people.
Right. But sometimes it's so much better, right?
Like, oh, yeah, I prefer it. Yeah. It sucks for the band.
Oh, yeah, because they came all the way up here, and they're going to make fucking nothing. Here's some Canadian beers.
Go home, exactly. Right? But,
And Banner Pilots was the other... Or no, that was...
Banner Pilot. Yeah. Iron Sheik and Banner Pilot are by far my favorite two bands.
All right. Check that out if you're into those sorts of things. Probably about time to maybe wrap this one up, eh?
Yeah, I think we've been at it for like...
about an hour or so.
Yeah.
It's about what we like to do. We're headed into the holiday season. It's nice to talk a little music.
That and I got to pee real bad.
Well, it happens.
Yeah.
My usual co-host is gone and returned 2 or 3 times by now. We're going to take this on out of here. Anything you want to say about the tune? We're going to go with Morning Brew.
Morning Brew.
By The Snacks. No, not The Snacks.
Not The Snacks.
The Snacks.
Snacks with a question mark.
Question mark.
Yeah. And this is most likely going to be our demo version that we've released on a couple of, or sorry, one split. And it's going to be on our next CD with everything. And there's actually like a new version of it that we're going to put on everything too. So.
Oh, wow.
It's a good song, so we're going to milk it as much as we can.
Absolutely. like I said, I mentioned having your sister-in-law on the show before, and she came up to me today knowing that we're having you on the show. She's like, you guys should play Morning Brew. It's a great song. And she's anything but a heavy rock. So it's kind of got that a little something for everybody.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. It's chanty sing-along sort of stuff.
And it's fantastic. And we're going to send everybody out of here on that. Randy, thanks a lot for doing the show.
Anytime. Hope you
come back and do this again, man. We'll rip some more beers.
Yeah.
We'll try and keep it a little shorter so you don't wet yourself on the other side of the table. This is Morning Brew by Snacks, and we'll catch you on the next Ottawa fucking Audio Whiplash. Peace out.
This one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.